Amen. All right. Well, good morning again to everyone. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 1, if you would please, this morning in your Bibles. Deuteronomy chapter number 1. I'll try not to say Deuteronomy too many times because that's a hard word to pronounce. Fifth book from the front. Just go to the front and go a few pages. You'll find Deuteronomy in there. As you're turning there this morning, I'd like to ask that you remember the pastor as he's preaching a revival in Kansas today and the next few days. If you're visiting with us today, I invite you to come back to hear the pastor because, you know, service may be a little bit different this morning, different people filling in different places. So we would invite you to come back, hear our pastor. Church, again, be praying for the pastor and his family. All right, let's jump right in to the Word of God this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 1. I ask you to stand if you're able this morning as we read. Deuteronomy chapter number 1, beginning in verse 19. And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe, and they turned and went up into the mountain and came to the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents, and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that ye went, until ye came unto this place, yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in, and fire by night to show you by what way ye should go, and in a cloud by day. I ask you to look back at verse 27. Verse 27, I want to draw your attention to one phrase out of verse 27 this morning. Because the Lord hated us. Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning needing a touch from heaven. God, I can't do it on my own. I don't want to do it on my own. But Lord, I pray that the message this morning would be filled with your Spirit, be delivered with power, empty me of myself. I pray this morning that as we would look into your word to see the truths, Lord, that lives could be blessed this morning, that people would get a fresh look at you this morning, God. I pray that you just go through this time that we have in the message. Oh God, if there's one here that's lost, God, that today they would trust you in the free gift of salvation. God, go with us again. Help us. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. So here we find the Israelites on the doorstep of the Promised Land. Now understand, at this point in the Bible, 430 years of bondage in Egypt. That's what the Israelites have gone through. 430 years they've been slaves in Egypt. Well, that means that every person that's present right here in this passage was a slave in Egypt. Because at this point, we found ourselves 2 years out from Egypt. So 430 years have gone by. God has victoriously freed these Israelites from their bondage. The Israelites had enough faith to follow God's man, to follow God's method out of Egypt. But that was short-lived. The Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 14, verse 22, that they were tested and failed 10 times already in 2 years. 10 tests, 10 failures. Consider that all these people knew was a life of bondage. They were slaves in Egypt. Now they've been freed. You would think that the Israelites would have bent over backwards to please God, to look to God, to do what God asked, because He graciously and victoriously delivered them from their bondage in Egypt, from a life that they saw no escape from. But no, here we are, 2 years later, and they're making this statement, because the Lord hated us. Are you kidding me? Because the Lord hated us? They could honestly stand here and make this statement to Moses? How in the world did they get such a twisted view on what was really going on? But before we pick up the stones to throw at them, let's back up a minute. Let's think about this. Maybe you would say this morning, well, I've never said that the Lord hates me. I've never have I used the words, the Lord hates me. To that I say amen. That's good. But I'm afraid this morning that even though we might not use those words, those exact words, those seeds are in our flesh, and every now and then they bubble up. And here's the forms they bubble up in. We don't always trust God as much as we trust ourselves. We'll say, well, life and culture's different now. That's Bible days. That's Old Testament. That's thousands of years ago. It doesn't work that way today. Or we'll say, well, nobody else is going. Nobody else is doing. Nobody else is giving. Why should I? Or, well, God's just too busy. He forgot about me. So, since He forgot about me, I'll just take matters into my own hands. If you ever noticed these seemingly gloomy attitudes that people have, you see it all around on a daily basis. Everybody you meet, they've got some sour look on their face, like they have, you know, they've just been told that they have 2 weeks to live. Well, isn't it amazing that we come in the house of God and we encounter the same attitudes? Isn't it amazing that we can walk into God's place that God has given to us and we can come in here and say, oh, poor me. Well, praise the Lord. You're in God's house. You're in a free country. You have the Bible. Well, I'm going to get ahead of myself here. But yes, praise the Lord. We don't have to have that gloomy attitude, but these Israelites did. They're riddled with fear, with doubt, with discouragement. And hopefully this morning as we get started, you get this picture. Look, I understand we all have problems. We all have difficulties. We all have trials. We're all going through something. It's called life. God has put us here. God created us. God made us. And what we're supposed to do is serve God, is look to God, is trust God. And God will take care of us. But we don't. So often, we want to focus on our own selves. And we want to look and say, well, God hates me. Maybe not in those words, but in some form of attitude, it's evident that that's your thought. So this morning, let's examine God's Word. Let's see why the Israelites here said, because the Lord hates us. Let's find out why they said. It's right here in this passage. And in this passage, it's not just for them, it's for us. There's so much practical truth in this passage of Scripture that we can take and apply to our lives that we won't get to this place where we say, because the Lord hates us. So how did they get there? They didn't start out with this defeated spirit. They were delivered from Egypt. They were freed. If you go back and you read in the book of Exodus, you'll find that after they crossed the Red Sea, that they sang praises to God. Now here they are, because the Lord hates us. So number one, we see a failure to remember God's provision. A failure to remember God's provision. And this is the thought that God won't give what He said He would. Look at verse 20. Ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Moses is telling them, hey, it's ours. This land belongs to us. God's giving it to us. Nope. Everything God said, think about this for a minute. From the time they were in Egypt until right here, everything God said would happen, happened. I sat down as I was preparing this message, and I was like, okay, what were they failing to remember? What provision of God were they missing? I've got 12 things. And I'm going to give them real quick. Don't worry, these aren't 12 points. Here's 12 things, really quick. God prepared to deliver. God protected them from the plagues. God passed over them in the final plague. God paraded them out of Egypt. God preserved them in the wilderness. God paralyzed their pursuers. God provided their needs. God pacified their complaining and murmuring. God penned His law. God patterned the tabernacle. God planned their journey. And God promised a homeland. How awesome is that? That was quick. That didn't even take very long. 12 things. God proved Himself over and over and over again. He gave and He gave. But after all this, they're on the doorstep of victory. They even know it. Moses has told them, here's the word from God. And yet they couldn't remember just how good God's been to them. They couldn't remember all God did for them. Well, maybe they were just forgetful. Maybe they had some feeling of entitlement. Oh, we're the Israelites. We're God's people. God owes us. Uh-oh. God didn't owe them a thing. But they were so consumed with their own selves that they forgot to remember God. Why is it that we're so busy focusing on other things that we forget to remember God until the troubles and trials show up? God is not your spiritual break glass in case of emergency. God is not your fix-a-flat. God is not your spare tire. God needs to be the engine. He needs to be the whole car. This morning, we forget to remember how good God's been to us. We forget to remember what God has done for us. We get so consumed with our own selves that we just overlook the fact of God's goodness. Until the trouble comes. And then we run to God. Oh, God, save me. You hate me. But you've made me go through all this. Save me from this. So I ask you, what has God provided for you this morning that you're forgetting to remember today? How good it is that we would take time regularly to remember how good God is to us. I know on Wednesday night, there was testimony time, and I missed that. I was in the back with the kids in kids' club, and there was testimony time. Oh, I like testimony time. I like testimony time when people can say, this is what God has done for me. And you know what? Every single one of us, we could take hours, each one of us, just to say how good God has been to us today. A moment ago, I gave you those 12 things that God did for the Israelites. It really surprised me how many there were. You know that song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done? Well, I started writing these things down. And I was like, okay, I'll get, you know, four or five. I got 12. Actually, I got more, but I trimmed down the list for sake of time. There's a bunch. And wow, it's surprising just how much that there is. But think about it. That list applies to us who've trusted Christ as well. God gave us His Son. God freed us from sin's bondage. God forgives our sins. God gave us eternal life. God protects us and guides us here on earth. God provides our needs. God gave us the Bible and the church. God provided His indwelling Holy Spirit. God hears our prayers. God promised us a home in heaven. I could keep going. Count your blessings. This morning, I don't care what it is that you're hurt. I don't care what it is that is the trouble in your life. God is good. Remember God this morning. Don't turn your back on God just because your life got tough. Look, the Israelites, every time that they got to this place where they murmured against Moses is because they put themselves in a position where they had a need. And it, what did they do? They didn't go to God. They went to Moses. Moses! Moses, God doesn't like us. Why didn't they just go to God? They had enough faith to put the blood on the doorpost so that God would pass over them. They had enough faith to pack their bags and walk out of Egypt. But now they don't have enough faith to just remember how good God is. Friend, that's our problem this morning. That's our number one problem. We're forgetting to remember how good God is. That's where it started. They forgot to remember how good God is. But number two, there's a failure to rely on God's protection. Not only did they fail to remember God's provision, now they failed to rely on God's protection. They're discouraged. There's this discouragement that says God won't give us victory again. Look at verse 21. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. But look in verse 28. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. Moreover, we've seen the sons of the Anakims there. They're discouraged. Moses, there's people up there. They're huge. The cities, they've got these big walls. How can we survive? We're doomed to fail. There's not only a discouragement, but there's a doubt that God will bless us or fight for us. Again, look at verse number 30. It says, the Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you. It doesn't say he may fight for you. He shall fight for you this morning. God loves you this morning. God has done so much for us this morning. God will still fight for us this morning. Here are the Israelites. They're free. They're victorious. They're prosperous. They're moving forward. And now they're stopped cold with doubt and discouragement. We better send some spies to see what's up there. I got a question for you this morning. Do you think God knew there were giants in that land? Do you think God knew there were walls, these great walled cities in that land? God said He went before they did. God knew. But no, they're not going to trust God. We're going to send some folks out to scout it out. And when they come back, they'll tell us what's up. And then they came back. Well, we can't do it, Moses. We're not strong enough. Absolutely right. That's probably the best statement that they made in the whole passage. They're not strong enough. We're not strong enough. But God is. God's strong enough to fight the battle. God's strong enough to give the victory. This morning, God will still fight for us. We can rely on Him. The Lord has ways of defeating your enemies that you could never imagine. Just rely on Him. He'll never fail you. He knows what's best for you. So, what battles has the Lord fought for you and won in the past? Hey, I got one. I'm alive this morning. Hey, I bet some of you as you sat there said, ooh, I know what battle the Lord fought. He fought the battle over sin and won. Hey, glory, that's good right there. And that's coming. We'll talk about that later. What trials are you facing today that you're not strong enough to face alone. Brother Bobby, what trial are you facing this morning that you're not strong enough to face alone? Huh? Huh? Josh, what trial are you facing this morning that you're not strong enough to face alone? Brother David, what trial do you have this morning that you're not strong enough to face alone? Brother Don, what trial do you have this morning that you're not strong enough to face alone? God said He'll fight for you every step of the way this morning. Don't fail to remember what God's done. Don't fail to remember that God will fight for you. Trust God to fight again. Fear not, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. It didn't say I can do all things by myself. It said I can do all things through Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I'll help thee. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide. God will take care of you. We sing it all the time. So we see a failure to remember God's provision, a failure to rely on God's protection. That leads us to number three, a failure to remain in God's plan. A failure to remain in God's plan. Here's the refusal to trust the evidence of God's goodness. Look at verse 25. Somehow my Bible page is flipped here. Verse 25. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us and brought us word again and says, it's a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. They held it. They looked at it. It was there for them to examine. These huge clusters of grapes that they brought. That they had to have a guy on each end of a big beam with these clusters of grapes on. And they said, check it out. Here's the evidence. Here's what's waiting for us. No, they didn't want to believe that evidence. They chose to refuse it. And then there was a choice to rebel against God's command. Verse number 26, notwithstanding ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. We see proof. We understand God wants to work. And what do we say? No, thank you. Pass. Let somebody else have it. I just don't believe it. They're standing exactly in the place God brought them to. Exactly in the place God brought them to. The next steps that they would take would lead them to victory. And what did they say? They said, okay, that's far enough. God, we'll do it our way. And here it comes. Here comes their first really distorted view of true reality. Look at verse 27. And ye murmured in your heart, in your tents, and said, because the Lord hated us, He brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. What in the world? After all of this, after all God's done, and they're going to turn around now and say, no, I'm done doing it God's way. Because God doesn't care about me. Some simple failures. They failed to remember God's provision. They failed to rely on His protection. They're not going to do what He asked them to do. And now all of a sudden, they've just had this massive error in their thinking. And we read this and we wonder, how in the world could they not see that God had a perfect plan? Well, isn't that the neat thing about the Bible? We get to read the end of the story. A lot of times we read it and we don't pay much attention. I'm just reading through this. Oh, there's the end. And there was a happy ending. Well, they didn't know that at the time, except God had told them there was. But this plays out in lives still today. We see proof that God's way is the best way. We hold the Word of God in our hand. We hear it preached in churches. We're eyewitnesses to God working in people's lives. I guarantee you, if you think right now, you can give me the name just like that of someone that you know whose life has been drastically changed because of Jesus Christ. Right? Maybe that's you. Maybe it's your own life. Even better. But yet, even with that evidence, we choose not to believe things. Many times we refuse to do the things that God commands us to do. And when times take a downward turn, adversity comes, we believe that God doesn't care anymore. Somehow, our failure to live for God becomes His fault in our minds. Well, I don't understand why I'm at this place in my life. Well, God does. God knows exactly why you're in the place that you're in. Now, it could be that you put yourself in that place. It could be that God puts you in that place. But He knows where you're at. And He has a way for you to continue on every day, day by day. Just keep remembering how good God is. Keep relying on God to fight for you. And keep doing the things that God asks you to do. It's not that hard. We say, I read this passage, and you know, one of the things that really disturbs me, I guess, about the Israelites is I see this repeated over and over thing that they just didn't go to God first, ever. Why did not they get on their faces before God and beg for wisdom? Beg for guidance, beg for protection, beg for courage. No, they just went and complained to Moses. But are we not guilty of this as well this morning? Why are we so quick to blame God for our struggles and yet we ignore Him in our victories? How many times has something happened, something worked out that you saw no way it would work out, and God gave you the victory, and you're like, wow, I did it. Uh-oh. But then when it doesn't work out, you're like, God, why is this happening to me? Why are you doing this to me? We have a twisted sense of reality this morning. We look at some other passages in the Old Testament here. Deuteronomy 5:33 says, "Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess." I like this. Psalm 37, verse 5, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And no, I'm not getting my theology out of the hymn book this morning. It's right there in the Bible. It's right there in the Bible. But oh, thank God for Bible-based hymns that we can sing. Sometimes you sing those songs, you don't even think about it, and you're like, oh, it's straight out of Scripture. And it's straight out of the passage that we're reading this morning. Trust God this morning. There's no other way. So they failed to remember God's provision. They failed to rely on God's protection. They failed to remain in God's plan. And it ultimately led to number four. They failed to receive God's promise. Here we see they made a mistake and they thought that God didn't care anymore. Verse number 31 tells us, "As in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that ye went until ye came unto this place." A true father never ceases to care for and provide for his children. It's built into us, men. It's built into our being by God Himself. When my children were born, my mom and dad didn't have to come up to me and say, "Okay, now you got to care for them." I just knew that I had to care for them. Ooh, almost went off there. Where do you think we got it from? God. And if we know how to care for our children, the Bible tells us, how much more then does the Father care for His? Turn over to Psalm chapter 103 with me this morning. Oh, I've lost my place in Deuteronomy. Psalm chapter number 103, and I'm not going to read the whole thing for time's sake this morning. But if you want to have a spiritual pep rally sometime, Go back and get into Psalms 103 and just read it, and then read it again, and then read it again, and then read it again. And eventually, something will start to sink in. Psalm chapter 103, I'm going to read beginning in verse 6. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses. Hey, that's where we're reading in Deuteronomy. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. There it is right there. The Lord, he cares for us. He bears us on his own shoulders. He carries us through this life. God, he's the ultimate father. He promised to always care for his children. So turn back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 1. We see the finality of the scene. Here it is. Here's the end. Complete unbelief. Verse number 32 in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. I know what God said, but I just don't believe it. In fact, I think he just hates us. That's what they said. I know God said it. I've seen it with my own eyes, but I choose not to believe it. And because of that, now I'm going to ascribe a false notion to God. We see the result in verses 34 through the end of the chapter. God says, I've done everything necessary to provide this gift for you. It's your choice whether you take it or not. But since you refused by your own choice, that's it. You don't have any part of it. And we know the rest of the story, how the nation of Israel was sent to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until all those who rebelled and didn't believe died, except Caleb and Joshua, the two spies who came back and said, that's a good land, we ought to go. And the other ones, the other 10, said, no, and discouraged the hearts of those. So they wandered for 40 years till they died. And what started in this passage as a seemingly harmless act of oversight ended in a complete and utter loss for those people. I plead with you today, don't wander through this life and miss out on God's promises. We've gone all the way through this message to get to this point. And you say, well, is it that simple? Yes. Yes, it is. It's absolutely that simple. Remember how good God is. Rely on His strength this morning. Remain in His will. And you'll receive the promises this morning. It's that simple. Maybe you sit here this morning, though, and you're still not convinced. You say, well, I don't know. That's the Old Testament. It doesn't work for me. Well, here we go. What else does the Bible say regarding this matter of the Lord hating us? John chapter 3, verse 16. I know it's been on y'all's mind since we started this morning. You're like, when's he going to get John 3:16 in there? It's got to come in there somewhere. Here it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You say, what's that mean? I'll tell you exactly what that means. God loved me so much that thousands of years before I was even ever thought of, on this earth, God sent His Son. And His Son lived a sinless life. And His Son chose to go to a rugged tree. Don't ever let anybody tell you that He was forced to go to the cross. Jesus went of His own choice. Jesus Christ loved you so much this morning that He chose to be executed 100% innocent. That His blood would be a perfect payment for your sin and my sin. What did God do for you? What else does He have to do for you? What else? What are you complaining about this morning? What are you worried about this morning? If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you have nothing to worry about. When you die, boom, heaven is your home. You want to know something? My father passed away, and it's been over a month now. And the first thought that came to my mind when they said that he had passed was, he gets to see Jesus before I do. What? Man, I missed out on that one. Well, I got to be here, and that's good. And I miss him. But God loved him. God loves me. God loves you this morning. If you ever get to the place where you think God has forgotten about you, oh, stop this morning. Stop right there. Don't go any farther. Don't take another step. Especially don't say anything to the Lord about, God, you hate me at that point. What do you need to do? You need to get down on your knees and ask God, God, show me a fresh look this morning. God, show me, remind me what you've done for me this morning. I guarantee you, you start counting your blessings, the rest of it just comes right on along. We sang it this morning. Well, actually, we didn't sing this verse. And this worked out really well. The Lord has wonderful ways of doing things. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. This morning you may be here, depressed, defeated, discouraged, disgruntled. Maybe you're just wandering through this life searching for purpose and meaning. If you've never trusted Christ this morning, hey, right up here. This is what's important this morning. If you've never trusted Christ this morning, that's important. Ask yourself. That's what you need to ask yourself. Have I trusted Christ? You'll know. God will tell you. Don't think you'll aimlessly live this life and one day you'll just sort of stumble into heaven. It doesn't happen that way. There's a real judgment. There's a real, literal, eternal hell burning with fire for eternity. And that'll be your final destination for eternity. Hell is promised to all who reject Christ. There's one of God's promises for you. Refuse Jesus, eternity in hell. Simple. Oh, would you come to Christ this morning? That's why we're here. That's why God has left us on this earth. Why? To spread the gospel. So that we can say, hey, I found something good, and I'd like to share it with you this morning. I found that God is good this morning, and I want to share it with you this morning. I found that you can trust God this morning, and I want to share that with you this morning. For those of you who have trusted Christ, maybe you just need a fresh look at how much He loves you. Remember His grace, rely on His mercy, remain in His will, receive of His promises, for God so loved. Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning. Thank you, God, that you would send your Son for me, a sinner, to die on Calvary, to pay the debt I could not pay. You gave yourself, as we heard in this song this morning. I deserve to hang on that cross. I deserve to be in hell. But God, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you that you still draw men and women to you, boys and girls, for the free gift of salvation. God, thank you for loving us so much. And I pray that this morning, that whatever it would be in our hearts, in our lives, that we would come to you this morning, that we would do business with you, that we would get things right that haven't been right. All these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. With your heads bowed.